I invite you now to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the gospel according to Mark, reading from the 7th chapter. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered Jesus, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then Jesus said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to Jesus a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside in private away from the crowd and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you so much that you've called us together this day to hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, the words of my mouth, would be acceptable to you, O God, and continue to bring glory to your holy name, you who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. I realized not too long ago that it had been a very long time since I'd been in seminary. And then this week, I got in the mail a postcard announcing that it was my 25-year class reunion. And I thought, that is a long time. It's a long time to have been away from seminary. But one of the things about this week was that the reading from the Gospel of Mark sticks in my mind as if it were yesterday. What sticks in my mind is a debate in one of my seminary classes my last year there. It was a class on the Gospel of Mark. And in the discussion about the passage of the Syrophoenician women, there was lively debate. Union Theological Seminary in the middle of Manhattan, where I attended seminary, was a very diverse school. So there were people there from a variety of different cultural backgrounds and people, of course, with different theological perspectives. So they were arguing the scripture, all of them getting louder and louder, trying to defend their interpretation as if they had the one and only answer to what this scripture meant. And I remember, as if it were yesterday, sitting there thinking, I wonder if Jesus wished that Mark had never recorded this story. I wonder if Jesus might have wished for a moment that he had not made that sharp rebuke to the Syrophoenician woman. And I remember thinking, I wonder if Jesus, who was exhausted, had wished that he had just bit his tongue and not said anything. Have you ever been in that position? Tired and exhausted and wished that you had not said anything? That's probably where Jesus was. One of the things that I learned out of that class and out of that lively debate is that wrangling over scripture has never brought anyone to faith. Wrangling over scripture has never brought anyone to faith. The stories from this morning's gospel are interesting stories. Jesus has been arguing with the scribes and the Pharisees about what makes someone clean or unclean, ritually clean or defiled. And they're talking about the dietary laws, about what people should eat and what they should refrain from eating. And Jesus pretty much says to them that it really doesn't matter what you ingest, what you eat. What matters is what comes out of you. What matters is how you live. Whether you live a sinful life, what your attitude is like, that's what makes you clean or unclean. He's been arguing with them and arguing with the disciples, trying to get them to see with new eyes and a new heart what their old tradition has spoken to them. He really wants them to see things from a new perspective, and he's frustrated, and he can't quite get them to open their eyes and open their hearts to a new way of thinking. So Jesus leaves. Jesus goes off by himself. Not only does he leave that conversation, leave that controversy, leave the clamor of the crowds, he leaves the country. He leaves Galilee. He crosses the border and goes into a Gentile territory in hopes, Mark says, that he might get some rest and renewal, that he might have some time apart, that he might be alone. But as is usually the case, his reputation precedes him. He's not there very long when into the house where he's trying to stay, a Syrophoenician woman comes in, drops herself at his feet, and begs for his attention. She doesn't care about protocol. She doesn't care about boundaries. She doesn't care that it's not appropriate for a Gentile woman to speak to a Jewish male. She has something more important on her mind. She's desperate. Her daughter is ill. Her daughter has a demon. And she doesn't care about all of those cultural boundaries. She just knows that there's a very human need and that Jesus can answer that need. The scripture this morning where Jesus rebukes that woman shows a very human side of Jesus. Yes, he's weary, he's tired, he's frustrated, but he's also a very real human being. We talk about Jesus mostly as being the Son of God, but he's also human, and so he has human characteristics. And his understanding, his cultural understanding, is that Jews have nothing to do with Gentiles. Males have nothing to do with women. And he does offer her a very sharp rebuke. And he says to her that he has not come for her kind. He's come for the children of Israel. And he calls her a racial slur. He calls her a dog. Now, in part of that seminary discussion, people wanted to say that really he was calling her a puppy dog, but that's not what the Greek says. He called her a dog. And the Old Testament use of dog is for an enemy, an opponent, or someone who was not Jewish. So Jesus is just calling it as it is. He has not come for her type. He has come for the children of Israel. But she has a very sharp rebuke back to Jesus. She's very witty. And she says, but sir, even the dogs under the table receive the crumbs from the children. Even the dogs under the table receive the crumbs from the children. And we know from the story that her words, her sharp rebuke, her quick wit, her boldness, her pushiness gets Jesus to change his mind, gets Jesus to look at things from a new perspective, gets Jesus to offer the cure this woman so desperately needs for her daughter. We might want our kind and loving Jesus to say, "Of course I'll cure your daughter." But instead, he has a sharp rebuke coming out of his cultural background, coming out of his particular time and place. But because he hears with his heart what this woman has to say, he too has a change of heart. And he sees the human need above the political and the cultural boundaries. A Feasting on the Gospel article about this woman says this. What is more, when Jesus answers this woman in this way, he is sticking with God's agenda. Salvation would come first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. He is implementing policy as if to say, their time will come. However, this woman needs him now. And so she answers him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumb." She does not wince, gasp, or miss a beat when Jesus rebuffs her. She is respectful, humble, yet persistent, and even bold. She will not take no for an answer. What possesses her to speak in this way? What drives her to abandon her own pride, to set aside her own prejudice, to throw herself at the feet of this man who is almost certain to refuse her? She is a mother, and her child is suffering. We can imagine that she has watched as her tormented daughter has become a stranger to her. We can picture this mother hearing her daughter's cries and holding her during fits and cleaning up her messes. Still, the woman is powerless to save her. In the face of all that, what do the politics of a people matter? What does the race of a person matter if that person can help you? What does it matter whether you are rich or poor? Though you risk rejection and ridicule, you throw yourself at the feet of the one who can help and you hang on, sometimes for years, not taking no for an answer. You come like a dog, yes, but like a bulldog, tenacious, persistent, protective. I may be a dog, but sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Give us a crumb. A crumb from your table would be enough. A crumb from your table is all we need. That woman got more than she maybe expected. She was persistent, she was pushy, and her daughter was healed. She gave herself, regardless of the boundaries, regardless of the politics, knowing that Jesus could heal her child. The second story is a story of friends that bring a deaf and mute man to Jesus. In the days of Jesus, anyone who had such an ailment would be outside the community. They would not have been accepted. And so they bring Jesus, this man, for healing. And he takes him aside. He takes him privately for a ritual of healing. And his hearing is restored, and so is his speech. And you can just about imagine the joyful proclamation of having your hearing and your speech restored. Yet Jesus tells them to be quiet, to be silent. There's no way you can hide this man's changed condition. And even his friends rejoice at the great miracle that's happening. And the more Jesus tells them to be quiet, the more they proclaim how wonderful Jesus is, that he does all things well, to the point that even the crowds are amazed. The crowds are astonished. Jesus is still outside of Galilee. He's still in Gentile territory. And here, people are coming to believe and coming to faith because Jesus dared to heal in a place where he didn't expect to have his gifts used. The scripture from James that Jeannie read for us this morning is a later reading about how the church is to respond. It's a reading about how people who already believe in Jesus Christ and already know faith in Jesus, how they are to live. And they are to live without showing partiality. They are to live not being indifferent to the needs of people. Perhaps James, a brother of Jesus, learned from Jesus' experience with the Syrophoenician woman and the deaf-mute person that he healed, that there are no boundaries when it comes to human need. People of faith need to cross all kinds of boundaries in order to offer what we can to help people who have those kind of human needs. Now, James is writing about an assembly, about a congregation where partiality is showed to those who have riches. And James says there's no place for that. There's no place for that in the community of those who follow Christ, for all are one and all are equal. The same thing about indifference. Faith and indifference is incompatible. If you see someone in need, regardless of their status, we are to be the hands and feet of Christ to help that person. We are to do our best to alleviate human need. In the past few weeks, there's been a lot in the news, a lot of protests and a lot of slogans. The slogan, Black Lives Matter, recognizes that there is still racism alive and well in our country. And shortly after that, the slogan, Police Lives Matter, came to the forefront as police officers lost their lives in random acts of violence. I was impressed by a Texas officer who had lost one of his own when he said, it's not Black Lives Matter, it's not that police lives matter, all lives matter, all lives matter. All lives do matter. All lives are sacred. And our scripture continually tells us that. Jesus learned that in crossing that border and helping that Syrophoenician woman. She was not someone that he would have cared for, but her life mattered and her daughter's life mattered. The deaf and mute man, his life mattered. The people in James' congregation, all of those lives mattered. And it's the same is true for us today. All lives matter. All lives are sacred. All lives are a gift from God. How do we as people of faith live that out? How do we as people of faith live a life that shows the world that all lives matter, that all lives are sacred? Not too long ago, Dave Wallace shared with me a little acronym. I had not heard this before, and it was the word PUSH. PUSH. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. The Syrophoenician woman prayed and prayed and prayed, and then she acted, and something did happen, something miraculous, something wonderful. Her daughter was healed. The friends of that deaf man probably had prayed and prayed, and they prayed until something happened. They brought him to Jesus. We, as people of faith, need to be that persistent in our faith. We need to pray until something happens, until something changes, until we change, until the world changes. There is so much in the world that not only requires our prayerful attention, but requires our willing to act. Think about the injustices in the world today. Terrorists that kill families. Terrorist groups that level hometowns. Think about the random gun violence, not only in our streets, but in each and every community, and not all that far from here. Think about drugs and addictions that take away the health of our children and our youth and our adults. Think about environmental issues that affect all of creation. Think about the refugees from Syria being washed up on shores. We, as people of faith, cannot be indifferent to the needs of others, regardless if they don't look like us and don't live in our community. We need to push, we need to pray, we need to be persistent, and we need to act. We need to pray until something happens. May that be true for us, so that all life would be sacred, that we would be reminded and we would live out that all life is sacred, that all lives matter. May it be so in our living, and may it be so in our lives. Amen.